Good morning. Welcome. Before I read today's scripture, I have the honor of introducing my friend, Dr. Talika McCoy. Talika and I met almost 3 years ago as we were entering our year-long residency in hospital chaplaincy at Wake Med, the Clinical Pastoral Education Program. And just for a point of reference, Justin Maynard was also in that group with us. He is now in Florida, and he grieves that he cannot be here today. So that process is intense, and it is often grueling, but very life-enriching and life-giving and self-revealing. Immediately, I knew that I could tell that Talika is a person of dignity and a person of character, and she has a very strong work ethic. She is a genuine person, and as our relationship in the residency unfolded, and we as a group began to be a little more vulnerable with each other and talk about some real issues of life, Talika really taught me a lot for me, about race in America. I will never know from experience what it's like to be a black person in America, and vice versa. And a lot of the discussions that we had at the beginning were not easy for me to receive. But because I know her and her heart, and I know her as a person, and we had already have this established relationship, I took her words for the value of considering the source. And some of my walls began to fall down, and I began to say, okay, uncle, like, I hear you, and there's a lot more that needs to be said and talked about. And so I'm just really grateful for the things that you have taught me, Talika. Thank you. Dr. McCoy, that is her title of distinction. She is on staff at Mount Peace, which all of my ecclesia people hear about often from up here, Mount Peace Baptist, where the website is currently under construction. I did not have access to her current title. Sorry. But I do know this. I know that she works with the youth. I know that she preaches and teaches in the walls of the church and often, more importantly, outside of the walls of the church in the community. I know that she went to Shaw Divinity, and she got her PhD at Capella. And she is just a dignified and intelligent and smart and beautiful and radiant person. And the only thing standing in between you and her sermon is the scripture reading for today. So here we go. It comes from Ephesians 2:11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a blessing to be found again in this great place. I had the honor of being here a couple of times. My colleague Heather, when she preached, and Justin, when he preached. And I think I was here one other time when Pastor CJ, I think you preached the other time that I was here. So it is wonderful to be back here again at Ecclesia. How is everybody? Good. You look good. I mean, the few of you that I can see. This is great lighting because you can see me, so I guess that's great for you. Maybe not. But I can hardly see you. But that might be a good thing to ease my nervousness, you know. I don't know about you all, but anytime you stand to speak or, you know, anything before people, you get the jitters, you know. But perhaps that's a good thing because then we know we have to depend on the Lord, right? Yes, indeed. So I honor your pastors, Pastor CJ, Pastor Curtis. Thank you so much for the invitation. And to all of the leadership here and to my friend Heather for that wonderful introduction. Thank you. You know, you never really know what a person thinks about you sometimes. And I mean, of course, if it's your funeral, but you don't get to hear that, I guess. You know, so thank you for giving me a few flowers while I'm alive. I appreciate that. Yes, and then there are people here, wonderful people here from Mount Peace. Now, some people are not here. They are out. You know, it's the holiday weekend. It's Memorial Day. But look at all of you here. It's wonderful. Give yourselves a hand. Wow. Yes, and there are those from Mount Peace here. If you would just stand so that I can see you. There they are. Yes. Thank you for being here. Indeed. And my mom is here, if she would stand. And my little brother is on the way, but I don't think he's gotten here yet. So I just ask that, you know, we just keep him in mind as he's traveling from Winston-Salem. I'm originally from Winston-Salem, so he's traveling here from there. So if you would pray with me. Lord, thank you for this day and for this opportunity to be together as one. God, we ask now that you will open our minds and our ears and our hearts so that we will hear a word from you. So I ask, God, that you will decrease this dust and ash that stands here so that we will see you and only you. And if there is a person who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ or they don't know about Jesus, I ask that you touch their hearts in particular so that they will not follow some religion but will want to have a relationship with Jesus. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles or your iPad or your phone or your whatever 2016 technology that you have with you, or a Bible, a paper Bible, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 10? Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45 is what I will read. Now, I have the King James Version here on my iPad, and I will read that version. I understand that Ecclesia is focusing on reconciliation, in particular, racial reconciliation and peace. And so on this morning, I hope that something that is said will help us as human beings to move closer towards that goal of peace and racial reconciliation. So let's see what we might pull out of Scripture here in Mark 10, verses 35 to 45 to help us in that effort. These are the words that are recorded. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whomever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That again is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. I want to talk about right road, wrong direction. Right road, wrong direction. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited to preach at a church in a town called Creswell. It's in North Carolina, but I had never been there before. I was really grateful that they had given me the opportunity to come and preach. So my mom, who is so faithful, traveling along with me, we get into my car and we get on this particular road. We start to ride on that road, and all of a sudden, I realize that I'm on the right road, but I'm headed in the wrong direction. Indeed, this was Highway 64 all day long. But you see, my GPS did not work so great in that particular area. And I had written the directions down. I had even reviewed the location. But again, I was on the right road, but I was headed in the wrong direction. Sometimes life can be this way. We find ourselves on the right road, but sometimes we're headed in the wrong direction, but we're on the right road. Even as we consider peace and we think about racial reconciliation, that's the right road. But then sometimes we don't know really how to do it. How do I do this thing called peace and racial reconciliation? Where do I begin? Which direction do I go in? So many times in life, we understand what it's like to be on the right road because many of us make a lot of right decisions. Yet sometimes, because we're human, we might find ourselves headed in the wrong direction. You see, when we think about racial reconciliation and peace, there are three things that are challenging when we want to go and take that road. Racial reconciliation and peace, it challenges our level of comfort. It challenges our level of commitment, and it challenges our connection to the process. So when we get on certain roads, we have to ask ourselves, what are the things that come along with that particular request? You see, James and John are here in the text, and they approach Jesus in a very respectful way. They have a request. There is a road that they want to be on. And so they respectfully approach Jesus, and they say, there is something that we want, and we ask that you will grant our request. We ask that you will be a part of the direction that we wish to go in. And so they are respectfully approaching Jesus with a request. But I wonder how much thought they really put into this request. Because they ask about traveling a certain road. And Jesus says to them in the text, in verse 38, he says, you don't even know what you ask. He asked them, can you really drink of the cup that I drink of, be baptized of the baptism? You see, they were on the right road because it seems as if they're desiring another level of nearness to Jesus. Think about it. A lot of people attack James and John in this text. But when I think about it, I mean, they wanted to maybe reach a level, another level of nearness to Jesus. After all, they had watched Jesus turn water into wine. They had watched Jesus heal people. They watched Jesus feed the multitude. So in some ways, it may make sense that one of them wants to sit on the right side of Jesus and the other wants to sit on the left. Perhaps that's not a wild request. They're on the right road. But Jesus challenges their comfort when he asks them, are you willing to drink of this cup? Now, this cup is not like some of the cups that we see. This cup is a cup of suffering. And then he asks them about the baptism. Are you willing to get outside of your comfort zone? You see, if we make a request and it's about being near and being together in unity, that's the right road. But are we willing to have our comfort challenged? You see, when you choose some roads, sometimes you find potholes in those roads. And I don't know about you, but the last time I hit a pothole, it shifted up everything about my car. It changed my entire way of driving, my entire way of life. I had to go get that thing fixed. So sometimes when you choose a certain road, there's potholes on that road. Then other times when I was coming into Ecclesia, there was something on the road that challenged me. Speed bumps. Hardcore, she said, speed bumps. So if we choose this road of racial reconciliation and peace, sometimes we're going to be traveling and there's going to be a speed bump. It's going to seem like we're moving slowly and nothing's even happening. Sometimes when you choose a certain road, there are not only potholes and speed bumps, but there's detours. You have to take a detour sometimes. You're on your way somewhere on that road, and before you know it, they send you in another direction. It may even be a familiar road and you like going this way, but your comfort level is challenged. Because you can't think the same way anymore. You have to take a detour. And not to mention traffic stops. You see, the speed bump will slow you down. But the traffic stop will do just that. It will stop you. And as you're continuing in your efforts for unity, you just feel halted. Because everybody doesn't want the same thing that you want. You see, as believers, we want some coming together. We want some unity. We want some of those things. We want black and white and male and female and young and old to come together. But everybody in this country does not want that. So when you're trying to love and you're trying to bring people together, there's a traffic stop. Even what we're doing today. There will be those that will say, well, you know, those black folks got together and those white folks got together that time. But I bet they won't do it again. And they're doing that, but it's just a formality. They don't really mean it. But what you have to think when those kind of naysayers say something, if the question is, what are they doing? You're not here. And the fact is, anybody in this room right now could have seen someone who does not look like them and left, but you stayed. Again, the first thing when it comes to traveling the road of peace and reconciliation, there's going to be some uncomfortable times. So what else with this James and John in their request? Well, again, Jesus raises that question that challenges their comfort because, you see, they want to sit with Jesus in his glory. But it's not all about the glory. Jesus went through some pain. So humiliation and suffering and degradation, those things come with this road. Do you really want to travel this road? So then they answer Jesus. And I wonder how quickly they said, we can. He asked them, you know, can you drink of this cup? Can you be baptized with this baptism? And they say, we can. I don't know how quickly they said we can. I don't know if they really contemplated what Jesus was asking them, but they said, we can. But Jesus is seeing these men, and what he wants to do is really point them in the right direction. Because again, it's not necessarily that they're on the wrong road. They're on the right road, but maybe they're traveling in the wrong direction because they're thinking about, again, the glory and not the suffering. But then we see that if they're going to travel this road, and if we're going to travel this road, there's a certain level of commitment that comes with this road. So we're talking about challenging our comfort level, and now we're talking about commitment. Because when we look at this text, we see, clearly see, they say, we can. Jesus says, okay, well, you're going to be able to drink of the cup then. Okay, Jesus pretty much does not deny their request. But Jesus is trying to help them in their direction, just as if, just like we need direction, because we really are not born with a really good sense of direction. Human beings don't really have a good sense of direction. We really don't. The word of God says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to death. Not to mention that Jesus had to remind people that I am the way, the truth and the life, because there are other ways. We are not really great when it comes to direction. I'm reading a book by Dr. Scott Beck. It's entitled The Road Less Traveled. He talks about how we as human beings are not created with maps. We're not born with a map. He says this, we're not born with maps. We have to make them. And the making requires effort. Many do not want to make this effort. The biggest problem of map making is not that we have to start from scratch, but if our maps are going to be accurate, we have to continually revise them. Dr. Beck is talking about commitment. The church has to be committed to this road. We have to be committed to revising things sometimes. Sometimes they won't work out in that way. It's not the best or the most effective way, but we have to be open and be committed to the process. We don't know what we're doing. We don't really have a clue, but we're doing it because we're committed to the process. You know, there's a song, you know, when I think about God being our guide and how we really are not great at map making or the fact that we don't come with a built-in GPS. We don't really know where we're going or what we're doing. So there's a song and it says, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. And then because I don't know which way to go, I ask God, and the church needs to ask God, hold my hand, Lord, walk with me. Hold my hand, Lord, walk walk with me while I'm on this tedious journey. I need Jesus to walk with me because I'm committed to the process, but I don't know which way to go. We're committed to the process of peace and racial reconciliation, but we don't know which way to go. But Jesus is here with them, and Jesus is willing to show them the way because that's what he does next. You see, the other disciples, they get upset with James and John. And I like to think that the reason why they really were upset with James and John is because they didn't get to ask Jesus for those positions first. You see, many human beings love positions of prestige. We love positions of privilege. So perhaps they're angry because they didn't get to ask the question first. But Jesus steers these disciples, all of them. And I love how Jesus does, because usually when Jesus raises a question, he's about to teach something. Jesus already knows the answers to the questions, but he raises the question and then he takes the time to show them the connection and the importance to the connection to the road. The importance of the connection to the road, not quitting. Even though it challenges our comfort, even though it takes a lot of commitment, staying connected to the road. When I was lost, I know I was headed in the wrong direction, but I knew I was on the right road. So you know what I did? I turned around and I headed in the right direction. And you know what happened? I reached my destination. But had I not remained connected to the road, then I would have never gotten to where I wanted to get in the first place. So Jesus connects them to what this thing is really about. He says that if you really want to be great, then what you're going to need to be is a servant. He connects them to the right road and the right direction. He teaches them in this moment. He says, even I, in verse 45, he says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to be a minister and to give his very life as a ransom for many. So we have to get on that right road and we have to stay there. And that can be challenging. I'm going to tell you a story about myself and why I'm talking about how important it is to stay connected when we're thinking about the church and racial reconciliation and peace. You see, what you have to understand, this might be shocking to you, but I was black before I was Christian. I'm talking about staying connected to this thing. I was black before I was Christian. So you see, I have some things inside of my mind. I have a history of my people inside of my mind. I can tell you that, you know, when I think about slavery and I think about segregation and I think about lynching in this country, it's in my mind. Not only do I make sure that I don't forget about it, but I make sure that other people don't forget about it. And I'm still on the right road towards racial reconciliation. But again, I was black before I was Christian. And so in my mind, and I'm not talking about Jesus right now, I'm talking about Talika. In my mind, I think in this 2016, if any of us, no matter what color we are, worked, say, 2 weeks straight, and you didn't get that paycheck, how would that make you feel? Well, when I think about my ancestors, and I know that they work for this country, lucrative crops like tobacco and you know, all of these things. I know that they use their very hands, their heart, their sweat, their blood, and their tears, and they never got paid for it. That's in my mind. I was black before I was Christian. When I think about this country, state-endorsed racism and heinous acts hanging from trees like fruit, it's in my mind. I was black before I was Christian. When I think about segregation and I think about little black boys and little black girls being taught or thinking that they are less than a little white boy or a little black girl, that's in my mind. I was black before I was Christian. And then I remember that I'm serving somebody greater than me. I say that I'm preaching Jesus and that I'm living for Jesus. That Jesus that I preach and that I love so much does not care about me being black. That Jesus does not care about somebody being white. That Jesus does not care about somebody being Asian. It says, whoever calls out shall be saved. So although I'm black before I'm Christian, I realize that the very love of Jesus is what we as the church ought to be focused on all the time. Because if we're not, then we're on the wrong road, headed in the wrong direction. And so I don't have to worry about being on the wrong road, headed in the wrong direction, if I follow in the way of Jesus. We're not talking about racial reconciliation and peace from the perspective of the world. We're talking about racial reconciliation and peace from the perspective of the church. Now, if you're doing it in the street, you do it any way you want to. But if you're doing it and you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ, then what Jesus has told us to do is to love one another. Not to judge one another, not to think more highly of one than the other. So I love what Jesus is doing in this text, because what he's doing is he's reminding them that you need to be a servant. He's reminding them that there's some suffering that's going to happen if you take this road. He's reminding them the importance of commitment. So then I've decided to follow right behind Jesus. But I've said to myself, do you really know what that means? That means that not all the time are people going to embrace you. Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hate me. Sometimes it's about race. Sometimes it's about gender. Sometimes it's about age. And sometimes it's because we decided to follow Jesus. But nonetheless, when I think about Jesus, I know I don't have to worry, because the best example of the one on the right road headed in the right direction is Jesus. Because Jesus took that cross and Jesus went on that road to Calvary. And so I figured that if we're really serious about this thing, then everybody's got to pick up their cross and they've got to follow behind Jesus. That's the best road that we can be on. So I don't know about you. I don't know how you really feel. But what I do know is that you, when you really accept Jesus Christ and when you really decide to follow that road, you pick up your cross and you take all the pain and you take all the hurt and you take all the misunderstanding and you hold it in, and God covers it with love. And when God covers it with love, everything is all right. So I want to encourage us to stay on the right road and make sure that we're headed in the right direction. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so very much for this opportunity. This opportunity to be honest about how the human condition gets in the way of what you want to do sometimes. God, I ask that you will continue to be patient with us. God, you know that we weren't created with GPS systems or maps, and so we're just learning as we go. God, we have all been guilty of self-righteousness. God, we have all been guilty of not putting you first. We've all been guilty of putting our own desires before what you want for us. But God, we're here now. And God, I ask that you will help us so that we will follow in the way of Jesus, not in the way of anyone but you, as we continue on this journey towards peace and racial reconciliation. And if there be one who is here who does not have their relationship, so that you can change their mind, so that you can help them, so that their thoughts will be your thoughts. I ask that you touch our minds now, God, because we can change policies, we can change laws, but we can't change people's minds. God, please change people's minds. Help them to see if they're not on the right road. Help them to see if they are on the right road, but just headed in the wrong direction. God, continue to be our GPS. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.